Good evening, saints. Let's stand and turn to Psalm 130 as we start the service. Just as a reminder, we do have prayer meeting here at the church Friday at 7. So looking forward to that. It's always nice to come and just spend time away in prayer. You know, get away from everything, all the work and everything else going on outside. Psalms 130, we're just going to read the first five verses there. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let thy ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?
But there is forgiveness with thee, if thou mayest be feared.
I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Amen. Are you hoping in that? We're together again. Just praising the Lord, we're together again in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Ain't it good, saints? We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. One more time. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Amen. Are you looking forward to what he has tonight, saints? Just trust that he's got something for us. Praise his name. We do have one prayer request today as the brothers would come forward. Just to keep Brother Eddie in prayer. He's having a procedure tomorrow. I believe part of that's tonight. So just keep them in prayer as he's doing that. I'm sure we've all got needs of our own. It's a pretty busy life a lot of times out there. But thankfully, we've got a God, as we heard Sunday, knows all about that. He spent his time to learn about us, to see what we went through, so you could say, I've been there. And so don't hesitate to take it to him. Just say, Lord, I need your help with this. And just pray that if you got another need today, you just reach out to the preaching of the word, that he would help us, as our brother James leads us in prayer. Amen. For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy, it heard about Jesus. What wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and faith. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Just thank Him. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out to heal me the way. Like a bird out of prison. Have you taken your flight? That has taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Aren't you glad? Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and faith. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Just thank Him, saints. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. One more. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Amen. Aren't you glad He's showing you the way out? Well, I'd say we ought to be ready to go, right? Ready to leave in the twinkling of an eye, making investments in that bank up in the sky. Happy preparations, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready to leave? Ready to leave in the twinkling of an eye, making investments in that bank up in the sky. Happy preparations, not a reason to grieve. Are you in that number getting ready to? in that bank up in the sky. Happy preparation's not a reason to grieve. Oh, are you in that number getting ready to leave? Amen. Been a little while since we've done that one, but praise God we got through it. I'm doing a little more often though. But thank God he's been taking care of it, because thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Just thank him as Brother Steve prepares himself. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Grateful to him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving salvation, so rich and free. One more time, doesn't he deserve it? Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Let's just thank him one more time. Amen. Aren't you so thankful for the Lord? Let's just thank him for his salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you thankful for him? All the blessings he's given to us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Are you thankful for the Lord? Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're getting right into it. I'm going to try to get this done. Amen. But it's too much. I don't want to scare you or nothing. I got to work tomorrow too, so don't worry about it, all right? But we just want to get to this. In Matthew 11, we're going to read this again. Matthew 11, we're going to continue about how to read the Bible. In Matthew 11, Matthew 11, we'll do at verse 25 again. Matthew 11, verse 25. The scripture reads, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Most gracious, kind, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We're so thankful for your salvation, so rich and pure and just mighty. And it's just, it's amazing how powerful your salvation is, Lord God. When we look at ourselves and we realize just how undeserving we are, Lord, you came in a mighty way, Lord. And not only did you come just to save us, but that salvation changed us, it molds us, and gives us power to live in this ungodly age, Lord. And we're so thankful for your spirit, God. Now we just pray, God, for this evening's service, you would take full control, Lord. And may you just speak what we have need of, God. We're trusting you and believing it now. In Jesus Christ's precious name, the church said together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And like I said, we want to continue talking about this, how to read the Bible. And like we talked about last week, you can't read the Bible like a newspaper. That's where a lot of people mess up. That's where a lot of people will then get some crazy understandings and so forth, is that a lot of times they're reading it without spiritual understanding. They're reading it without contacting the Holy Spirit and so forth. And so, but there's certain fundamentals that we got to go over first. And like I said, we talked about last week about reading between the lines and so forth, and how we're understanding that the reason why we're able to read between the lines is because we first loved him. And because we love him, that creates an understanding between us and Jesus that he is able to reveal unto us that other people who are not in love with him cannot see. Amen. Now we're going to continue on with this, how to read the Bible. And this is, we're going to start talking about the relationship within the Old and New Testament. And I'm titling this one, Becoming a Typologist. Now that sounds funny, okay? being a typologist. It's not as hard as you think it is. Becoming a typologist. The reason why we use type, which is a word that we use to understand the relationship between the Old and New Testament. You don't need to turn to this one. Romans 5:14. This is where we get this idea. The Bible reads, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." That word figure there in the Greek is typos, which is why we use the word type. Okay, it literally means a die, a stamp, scar, a resemblance, and so forth. It literally means it's something that representing something else. Okay, that's all it means. It's pretty simple. A good way to understand a type, honestly, is nursery rhymes. You know what I mean? Like I was just thinking about today about the hare and the tortoise story, right? And the hare and the tortoise, and the hare will tell the tortoise that I'm faster than you. Well, has anybody ever seen a hare talk? No, of course not, right? The hares, and then the tortoise said something back. Well, tortoises don't talk either, right? So what is that story doing? It's representing something else. It's a type of trying to explain something. And that's how the Bible is written. The Bible is written with these types and shadows, amen? And what's so amazing is that we're not, thank you, Lord Jesus, we're not making that up. We didn't go through the Bible and say, yes, the Bible types. No, the Bible told us that it types. Okay, like we just read, who is the figure of him to come? So what's he saying? Adam was typing Christ. Okay, that's what it's saying. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Turn to that one. While you're turning to that one, I'm going to read another one to you in Colossians 2, 16 to 17. The Bible says in Colossians 2, 16 to 17, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ." So see, that's why when we say types and shadows, and I got the quote, we're going to talk about it, but we'll just talk about it now. You know what a shadow is, and it's so hard to get a shadow because we have such great lighting here. Say this is my shadow, right? So if there's a light over here and I put my hand right here, what's cast over here? A shadow, right? Now, as the real thing gets closer to the shadow, they become more and more one until what? The shadow's gone and now only the real thing exists. Okay? And so that's what the Old Testament was. The Old Testament was a shadow. There was a light in the beginning. Let there be light, right? And we know what that light was. It was the Word, because it says in 1 John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God shined the Word. And then here's Christ. But what was the shadow? Adam. As we just said in Romans 5:14, right? So in the Old Testament, it's talking about Adam in Genesis. And during that time, they may not understand what's going on because they're just seeing the shadow, right? You can see, okay, the shadow has five fingers, right? But what color are they? Well, it's a shadow. You might not be able to tell every single detail. Are they missing a fingernail, maybe? See, you might not know every single detail, but you'll know some things about it. And that's what a shadow is. God light the Word. Here's the reality. And then here's the shadow. And so God shows you the shadow, and then when he brings the Word closer to the shadow, what happens? It brings full realization of what the shadow was to the point that you don't even need the shadow anymore. You already see it. Yes. Amen? And so when you have that understanding, it makes all these stories make. I mean, think about it. When John saw the messengers come, when he saw the seven church ages, one of them was a white horse showed up. Well, what's a white horse got to help me with? If that was it. But no, the white horse is a type. It's representing something else. So all these visions, and you'll see about the Old Testament prophets, and Daniel saw a head made of gold. Well, great. There's a great head of gold, but what does it mean? See, it's a shadow of something that's real, that the Word is lighting upon. And what's so amazing is that the Bible told you that's how he's going to do it. Which are a shadow of things to come. I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, wait a minute. It just said they walked, and this is talking about the Red Sea. So when they walked through the Red Sea, what is Paul saying? Paul's saying that walk through the Red Sea is typing baptism. Isn't that neat? See, the shadow during the time, they may not have known exactly what was going on, but it is a shadow, right? Because that's what you went through when you get baptized. What do you get baptized with? Water. And so when Paul is breaking down the scripture, he's going back and saying, you see how they were getting baptized with water? You see how it's the same thing here? And you go, oh my goodness. It was the same word the whole time. Amen. Just as much as we needed to get baptized in order to have a closer relationship with Jesus, the children of Israel were baptized too, just in a shadow. And now when the reality comes, you see the reality come close to the shadow and you go, oh my goodness, God was acting the same way the whole time. Watch this in verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? I thought they were eating quail. I thought they were eating actual meat. Paul is telling you, no, God, the reason why God did it, there's a spiritual reasoning behind it that you can learn from. Could you imagine God thinking of that back then? This was so amazing about the Word. Actually, keep reading. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But it was still a rock. What was that rock, though? It was the shadow of the reality. And when the reality showed up, you know what that rock represents. And listen, they drank natural water, right? They actually drunk real water. But Paul is saying he didn't just give them water just so they can quench their thirst. God was also thinking of you so much that he allowed him to drink that water. And then he goes to Paul, and Paul said, do you realize the same thing? That when God was taking care of them, God is taking care of you. And you can learn something, that just as much as they depended upon a rock that God ordained, you have a rock too that you can depend on. That you, when you're thirsty, you can be quenched with a spiritual drink. Isn't that something? Think about it. When God was back there taking care of them, he was thinking of you. Isn't that something? Oh, and you think if you, and sometimes you wonder if God really loves you sometimes. Well, he must like you some reason. He's been thinking about you since then. Even all the way back then, when he was taking care of them with water, he's thinking, yes, this is going to teach that church in Defiance what it means to stand on the rock, where I will be their provider, and they don't have to depend on themselves, but I'll be able to take a rock, split it in two, and provide for you, amen. That you don't have to be nervous whether God's going to take care of you or not. If he took care of them in the wilderness, he's going to take care of me, amen. Hallelujah. Types are pretty cool. Amen. See, what is a type? And we're going to take a little bit more of a theological approach in one sense, is that a type is pretty much a prophecy. God did something in the Old Testament that he was going to do in the future. And he's using the Old Testament to represent that. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews 8. In Hebrews 8. Whew, you love the Lord? Whew. Man, I thought we were going to be all cool and comfortable, and I was just going to teach a little bit here. Boy, I got excited. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. As you turn into Hebrews 8, sorry, you got to do a praise break there for me, okay? That was some good stuff. Even I liked that a little bit. Amen. You got to give me some time to amen myself. Listen, I'm here with you. Amen. I want to learn from God. Amen. I want to have the Spirit anoint. Remember that when we come to church, we're not looking for a man. You remember that. Amen. We're not looking for a man to talk to us. We're looking for Jesus to talk to us. Amen. As you keep your position there. Actually, go ahead and flip over a couple of pages of Hebrews 10, which I just realized they're so close to you there. That's fine. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Okay, remember when I talked about reading between the lines? Let's read between the lines for a second. We just read that the shadow of the things, which are not the real things, cannot bring people unto perfection. So if the shadow can't do it, that means the thing the shadow represents can. Amen. That it can. So the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very edge of the things. What is the good thing to come? Let's just say it right now. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. For all the law and prophets pointed unto him. And so he was the good thing to come. The shadow couldn't do it, but the reality can. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We don't have to. That's so amazing. People always get this confused. I notice Christians sometimes try to act like an Old Testament believer. Well, you got to go through this process and that process and that process, and then you'll finally have the promise. That was never the point, amen? The shadow of the things was only pointing you to the reality of Christ, and because Christ came, he fulfilled what it said, and that means all you have to do is partake of it, and it will produce the same thing in you, amen? And what does it produce? Well, it has to produce the same thing it is. So is God perfection? If God is perfection and then God's working in you, what else can you produce but perfection? Exactly. See, it's not you though, you see? Quit looking at this thing. This ain't it. This ain't it. This thing's the problem. God died on the cross so this can't stop you anymore. Amen. Whew, glory to God and hallelujah. We need to die to ourselves daily. Die to our flesh. The flesh gets in the way, not God. Whew, praise the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord? Yes. Hebrews 8. Look at these types here. This is so beautiful. Amen. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Now think about this for a second. Is Jesus literally standing on a right hand? Of course not. See, even the world understands types. You know what I mean? When somebody sits at your right hand, what do you think that means? They sit at power and authority, right? Trump just nominated, Vance for VP, right? One could say that Vance sits at the right hand of President Trump, What means what? He's been given power and authority if he gets voted in later, right? That's what that means. He's not literally standing on a hand, right? That's how you got to read the Bible. You can't read it so literal, okay? Watch verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So see, there is a tabernacle, and we'll go over it later because the tabernacle, as we're going to read here in a second, is a pattern of salvation. So at some point, we have to go over the tabernacle in order to learn salvation. But you have to understand when you look at this scripture, it's not necessarily that there is a false tabernacle and then a true one, but there was a shadow of the tabernacle. But now when the true tabernacle comes, you don't need the shadow anymore, which is what happened from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We don't get rid of the Old Testament, but what did the Old Testament do? The Old Testament was fulfilled by the New Testament. So it becomes like this. When you say you believe in Jesus Christ, well, does that mean you have to offer a lamb for your sin offering? Well, there is scripture that says they were supposed to do it. Amen. But do you realize Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but I came in. Fulfilled the law. So now when you believe on Jesus Christ, what is he saying? He's saying, yeah, you still got to do it. But did you know Jesus fulfilled it? So when you believe on Jesus, you're believing on the fulfillment, not fulfilling, fulfillment of what he, of the Old Testament. So that's why you don't have to offer up another lamb, because you've already got the lamb that represented the shadow. See, the actual Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, was the actual reason or the word that the shadow was representing in the Old Testament. When they would offer up sacrifices and peace offerings and trespass offerings and sin offerings. Yeah, they were supposed to do that until the reality came. And when the reality of Jesus Christ came, you don't need the shadow anymore. It's here already. Amen. And so, yeah, you are doing trespass offerings. You are doing peace offerings. You're fulfilling them in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? He's the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Keep reading. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. You know what that means? With Jesus Christ, we have the heavenly things. What Moses saw, actually, let's keep reading real quick. I'm sorry. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Amen. So when Moses went up there, he saw something. And what he saw, God said, okay, now I need you to come down and make it according to what I showed you in the mountain. What did he show him in the mountain? Well, you can kind of tell what he showed him by the shadow. And what was the shadow? The tabernacle in the wilderness. Amen. So what did he see? He must have saw your salvation. He saw Jesus Christ. He saw what was going to take in order to save your soul. And when he came down, he saw the pattern and he was able to produce a shadow of what he saw in heaven. But then when Jesus, glory, Jesus came from heaven, he came from God, he came from that mountain, came down, manifested himself in human flesh, and what was he? He was the true tabernacle. Remember, he was the true tabernacle. Remember, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they thought he meant Solomon's temple. That was just a shadow. Glory to God. He was the reality of it. You see what happened? They missed it because they were too busy staring at the shadow and not the reality that was standing right in front of them. If they would have only learned what the shadow was trying to teach them, they would have been able to see Jesus and say, that's the fulfillment. That's the Messiah. But they were too busy staring at the shadow, too busy staring at the law to see the fulfillment of the law was standing right before them. Oh, praise the Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, as an individual, as a church, we don't ever do that mistake. Don't ever do that mistake. Don't ever forget why we're going to make it. We're not going to make it because of who's around us. We're not going to even make it because of necessarily what we believe. We're going to make it because Jesus believed. Amen. And when we put our faith in Him, that's what's going to save us. Amen. Oh, we're going to be a little strong. Doesn't even matter if we believe the message or not. That's not even good enough. Amen. Now, it depends on what you say by message. I get that. Because I believe the message is Jesus Christ. It's the same gospel. Glory to God. It's the same gospel that Paul preached. It's the same gospel that Jesus Christ gave to us. Amen. And all these denominations and opinions try to corrupt the very word of God. But God proved that you can't corrupt the infallible word. Amen. And God was able to still bring it back to His children. Amen. Brother Ray said, and God who is rich in mercy. Everybody had it confused what it meant to be called a Christian. But God who is rich in mercy, send us the word again, amen. And now we can believe it with all of our hearts, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew, glory to God. Remember, this same prophet that Brother Brandon, when he came, was also sent, remember, when he was in the cave, says, when Moses was given two signs, I'm going to give you two signs. See, you got to remember something. God don't change His program. We change. God don't. So if God's going to bring the word, this is how He was going to do it. How did they know Moses was a prophet of God? How did they know? God backed him up. God showed up. Amen. When He called for fleas, guess what happened? Fleas showed up. Amen. God backed him up so much that even when somebody tried to, even when his own family came against him, got him away. Matter of fact, Moses even said, aren't you afraid of God? Don't you fear Him? I didn't make myself, Moses would say, I didn't make myself this. He did. Amen. And see, that's exactly how God would reveal. That's just so amazing to me. Amen. When we look at these things and when we call ourselves message and why we believe in a prophet, it wasn't outside the word. It was right here in the word the whole time. God did the exact same thing for the children of Israel. He did the exact same thing. And God came around and guess what we found out? God was still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changed His program. And you ought to be so thankful God don't change His program. When He thought of you, He never changed His mind about you. So that means if He says He'll heal you, He said He'd do it, He can't change. He's got to do it. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. I say praise the Lord. We ought to be so thankful God don't change. Amen. Think about it. If God would change, then that means His salvation could change. Now you can't have a guarantee in your life. Now what anchor do you have? That's why if God don't change, He can't change in every aspect, not just some. That's what people like to do with God sometimes. Decide what changes and what don't. If God don't change, He doesn't change in all of His aspects, not just some of them. Amen? Whew, that's a little preview for when we go over the message later. You love the Lord? If you have your Bibles, go and open up to Matthew 3. Whew. I'm assuming Justin went to the rest. Steve, you know where water is? Matthew 3, verse 1. Sorry, I need a little water myself, some spiritual drink, if you will. Actually, I just need some natural drink. I'm getting pretty full spiritually right now. I don't know about you, amen? I feel good, don't you, Brother Kent? This is wonderful, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to look at a, like I said, by the end of this service, you're going to be a typologist yourself, amen? So let's look at one of the first, well, I don't want to say first, but one of the most grand typologists, which was John the Baptist. Thank you, buddy. In Matthew 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. You love the Lord? Actually, looks like we can skip down a little bit. This is when John the Baptist is preaching the gospel and telling them to repent and so forth, quoting the scripture. Verse 6. And this is when John the Baptist started baptizing. He said, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, oh, you very bad people. Now that's the anti, which I didn't want to get into this, but that's the fulfillment. But what did he call them? Old generation of vipers. Now listen, we can sit here and debate, try to figure out. I wonder what he meant when he called them old generation of vipers. I wonder what he meant. You know, you all know what he meant, don't you? It's just like the tortoise and the hare. Amen. Vipers are not known to be the good person in the story. Amen. Matter of fact, remember, amen, when the serpent is changed in the Garden of Eden, he's changed into a serpent, into a viper, into a snake. And what did this guy pretty much call him? Oh, you generation of snakes. Yeah, you ever call somebody snake? You know what I mean? They're not really the good people of the story. You see what I'm saying? What is he doing, though? As Brother Branham would say, and I got the quotes, but we're just going to save a little time. As Brother Ray would say, he said, listen, I don't have that much education. That's what he would say. I don't know good words. He says, I usually got to see types and shadows for me to understand. And you know, I think that God understood that too. Remember, he wants to reveal these unto babes who love him, who want to know more of him. At the same time, he's hiding it from people who have alternative motives. So he has to set it up in such a way to where people who do love him will know what he's talking about. Amen. And listen, the devil thought, well, then he'll just make it more complicated. That's not what he did. He made it even more simpler. He just used types and shadows. Amen. And then people will sit around and debate, what does vipers mean? And debate, I wonder what it means. Well, you got this, that. And they'll sit there and debate. Amen. And you sit there and go, I don't know, what are these people talking about? That's pretty easy to understand. Why is it so easy for you? It's different relationship. It's because you're in love with him. You want to serve him the best you can. You're trying to give him more of your time, and you're trying to understand more. And because of that relationship, you can look at the scripture and you go, oh, he's calling them a bunch of snakes. Got it. See? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8, watch this. Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance. Well, okay, so when you repent, you're supposed to show up with a bunch of apples here? No, of course not. Matter of fact, you keep reading, because he's going to tell you why. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children of Abraham. I like that, but we want to get to verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Well, wait a minute. Why are we cutting a bunch of trees down now? See, these things are representing something. So what are these trees representing? I was actually thinking about this in the office, and I saved them. Go ahead and turn to Mark. Mark 8. Let's see what this typologist was talking about. Remember, by the end of this service, we're going to be professional typologists. Amen. I'm going to certify you. Actually, no, I'm not. Jesus already did certify you. Amen. Jesus already certified you. Amen. So we're going to figure out what are these trees we're cutting down? What are these trees we're cutting down? This is what's so amazing about the Bible. Can you say amen? Is that it's going to tell us what it means. We don't need another book to tell us. Remember this, even the Church Age book, and I really love the Church Age book. Don't get me wrong about that. I think it's a great read, and I would suggest everybody reading it, okay? But that Church Age book, amen, has to be in here. Amen. It's not this has to be in the Church Age book. You see what I'm saying? If the Church Age book says something wrong, then we throw that out. We keep this. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. We don't need another book to tell us what it means. This book will identify itself what it means. Amen? Just so you know, that's what the prophet said too. Amen. In Mark 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Boy, that would have been a crazy way to get your blindness fixed. Hey, man, take you out of town and he spit on your eyes. Sometimes God's going to tell you to do some crazy things that people don't understand. But guess what? He's going to see, so don't worry. So, see, as long as God fulfills the word, who cares? Amen. Can you say amen? But watch what he sees, though. Jesus asked him, hey, do you see yet? Verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And I wonder if she's, actually, I got this from Dad. Dad said one time, well, Jesus fixed him too much. He almost healed him too much because he was seeing the type and the shadow. So he said, so verse 25, and after he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. Amen. So you see, though, remember this. The Bible is, like I just said, we don't read the Bible like a newspaper. Why did God allow this to happen? I mean, think about it. Him looking at men as trees, is that really important to his eyesight being restored? As far as personally, I doubt it. Sure, personally, I would doubt it. But why did he do it? For you. For you to understand. Oh, this is what the Bible's trying to convey to me, that trees can represent people. There's another one, too. Let's read that one real quick, if you don't mind. In Psalms 1. In Psalms 1. In Psalms 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. The scripture reads, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, wait a minute. What? Do I got leaves on me or something? Anybody see any fruit on me? No. What is fruit? Fruit is simply the manifestation of the life in the tree. You look at a lemon tree versus an orange tree versus a apple tree. They all look the same, right? They got brown wood and they got leaves and so forth like that. They might have different little leaves, but they also look like trees. Personally, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between them. I don't know about you. You might be able to. God bless you. I wouldn't be able to. But as soon as they produce a fruit, amen, when a lemon comes off of a lemon, off of a tree, you call it what? A lemon tree. You don't call it an apple tree, do you? Amen. You go up to all those trees and you have no idea what's in that tree until it produces life out of it. When it produces a manifestation, it identifies the life in it. Amen. And so we go back. I should have told you to keep your finger there. I apologize. In Matthew 3, verse 10, it says, and now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree or every person who bringeth not forth good fruit or the manifestation of a good life from them, which remember, we'll get to that later. A good life is not good or bad works. It's who you believe. It's who's inside of you. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will produce good works. It's not you producing it. Amen. Who? Praise the Lord Jesus. So see, any tree that's producing that false fruit, that evil fruit, amen, it's going to be hewed down and cast into the fire. Amen. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to get baptized in fire, Brother Stephen. It's a spiritual fire. When we have water baptism, we're not putting fire around the water and baptize you in fire. That wouldn't be enjoyable, I don't think. But when he says, I'm going to baptize you with fire, you can feel what that means in your heart. You see what I'm saying? What's so amazing about this study that we're doing is that half of the things I don't even need to spend a sermon on to tell you. When I say, hey, we're going to act with fire, you go, yeah, we're going to act with fire. What is it? It's burning passion. It's zeal. It's going, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I feel the fire of the Lord on me. You see, you didn't need a Bible study to tell you that. The word in you, recognize the word here, amen. So when it said, I'm going to baptize you with fire, you said, yes, Lord, baptize me with fire. Burn me, Lord God. until there's no more sin on me anymore. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? See, I didn't even have to teach you that, did I? God already had it in your heart the whole time. That's what the Bible does. Isn't that so amazing? When you hear the word being preached, what happens? You can feel the word coming out of you. And you feel the word taking the word in you and bringing it to light. And you're going, yeah, Lord, that's what that means. Look here, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand. That fan is a little different. It's not a little fan like this. It's like a bellow. You ever seen those bellows when a blacksmith would pump air into a fire? That's what it is. And so what's God doing to you? Is he trying to burn you more? Not naturally. But what's he doing? When he sparked you with the Holy Ghost and set you on fire, what'd he do? He didn't try to cool you off. Hallelujah. He didn't try to cool you off. Amen. What'd he do? He got a fan in his hand. And he started, and started bringing that fire more into you. Amen. So you need to burn more. There's that old gospel song, burn, burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me, catch my soul on fire, amen. And you see, you know what that means, don't you? You already know what that means. Guess what? You're becoming a typologist. It was really that easy. Amen. You already know what it meant. It was already hidden in your heart the whole time. Listen, even the world understands these things, which is what's so amazing about this. Remember, the whole world is fashioned by Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Okay, you don't mind if we're going to do a little lesson here, okay? We're gonna take a little time, amen? If you remember why we started this kind of idea of how to read the Bible was I saw a clip about how they say America's not in the Bible. And that's what got me thinking about this for a second. And so I thought, oh, you know what? Let's find America in the Bible using the tools that we just found out through the Holy Spirit what we have. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to find America in the Bible. Does that sound all right to you? But in order to get there, we have to use our tools that God gave us for us to understand. Okay, so Revelations 13. Revelations 13 has two beasts in it, okay? In Revelations 13, verse 1, and then Revelations 13, verse 11. There's two beasts here, okay? And we're going to start, like I said, using the tools that God gave us, we're going to start identifying these beasts, okay? So we see here in Revelations 13, in verse 1, the scripture reads, this is John the Revelator. This is not John the Baptist. This is John the Revelator, okay, on the island of Patmos. And he says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Well, boy, this would have been a sight to behold. Okay? Now, obviously, this is not a normal beast. Okay? This beast has seven heads and ten horns. Well, I've never seen this in my life. I don't know about you. So this beast is representing something. Amen. Now remember, what is John looking at in this scripture? He is not looking at the actual thing. He is looking at the shadow of it. So when he's looking at the shadow, this is what he's seeing. This is the symbol God is showing him. Okay? Brother Bram said it like this one time. He said, God reveals things in three stages. Okay? First, it's a complete mystery in the mind of God. Right? It has to exist somewhere first. And so it's complete mystery, and nobody knows even a hint of it because it's hidden God. Remember, we just read, no man can know the Father except who the Son reveals him to, right? So if the Son doesn't reveal him, you can sit there and moan and cry and everything. You won't know because it's a mystery hidden God. So that's the first stage. It's a mystery. Then what does God do? God doesn't just tell you exactly what it is. What's he do? He shows you the shadow or the symbol of it. Then he shows the symbol of it. And then the third stage is what? Then he reveals what the symbol means. Or brings the actual from the shadow. Amen. So see, those are the three stages. John the Baptist is looking at the second stage right now. He sees a beast come out of the sea with seven heads and 10 horns. Okay? Now, this beast is also mentioned in a couple chapters later in Revelation 17, which go ahead and flip a couple pages to Revelation 17 and verse 7. Revelation 17 in verse 7, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which has seven heads and 10 horns." So this is the same beast that we just read in Revelation 13. Everybody see that? So now we keep reading. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is." Well, I can explain that in just a second. Why? That sounds funny, don't it? It is, and it's not, yet it is. Well, then what is it? Just so you understand, it's actually what's going on. Verse 9, though, is key here, which is what we're going to focus on first. "And here in the mind... And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Okay, now we're getting somewhere. These seven heads are representing what? Seven mountains. There is plenty of cities out there that are built on seven hills. As a matter of fact, I try to look up Wikipedia. There's like hundreds of them. And apparently people are just claiming it now at this point for like some status thing. It's weird. Okay? But there's plenty of cities that sit on seven hills. But there's only one church that does. And that church is in Rome. Rome was built on seven hills. I got it right here. Palatine, Capilino, Aventine, Quirinal, Esca. I can't even say these words right. Verminal and Kylan. Rome is built on seven hills. Now you look at all these cities that are built on seven hills. Yeah, they may be cities, but they weren't churches. Amen. Babylon sit on this church. This beast was sat on by a woman. And this system. Now remember, when we talk about, we got to preface this, don't we? Just to be sure. When we talk about denominations, we are not talking about people. You hear me? We are not talking about people. We are talking about that system. Amen. The system. Can bring, just look at the American government. Look at what that system does to people. Amen. Gives people false hopes and things like that only to try. Think about it. The IRS calls you tomorrow and says, "Hey, you owe $10,000. What are you going to do about it? "Oh, gee, the system looked out for you, didn't it?" Just so you know, that happened to me one time. Had a fight tooth and nail. I'm the one that had to fix their problem. You know what I mean? So you see, we're not talking about people. This beast is a system that's rising up. Okay, so now we go back to Revelation 13, verse 1 again, and we read this. Let's keep reading this. Remember, what are we starting to do? We're starting using our tools that God gave us. We found out, wait a minute, those hills, the Bible identified what those seven mountains or the seven heads were, which were mountains. So they're typing. Okay, now we look at another attribute of this beast. Watch this. "And I stood upon the sands of sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns." Where did the beast come out of? Waters. It came out of the seas. Well, what does that mean then? Well, praise the Lord. The Bible told us back in Revelation 17, verse 15. Go ahead and flip back there. Revelation 17, verse 15. Oh, this is so beautiful. I really like this a lot. Amen. Revelation 17, verse 15. "And he said to me, The waters which thou sawest." Okay, he's going to tell us what it means. "Where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Let's go back to Rome. How did Rome build up? Does anybody know? It's a historical lesson, but Rome pretty much went around and what did they do? Conquered everybody. So they started taking out other peoples, nations, and tongues. Do you remember the time when Paul one time was thrown into a jail? All of a sudden he said, "Hey, I am a Jew, but did you know you also threw a Roman citizen in here?" And all of a sudden, they got scared and nervous. Why did they get scared and nervous? Because there was different peoples, tongues, and nations. If he was just an Israelite, who cares? He's not Roman. Roman citizens were treated differently than other nation citizens, even like Greeks and the Medo-Persians and things like that during this time. But when Paul called himself a Roman, Now Festus was a little nervous a little bit because he was a citizen of Rome. So you see, Rome was built out of peoples, nations, and tongues. And that's the beast rising up out of the sea with seven heads and ten, or seven heads, which were seven hills. Isn't that something? Okay. But you say, Brother Stephen, I still haven't found America yet. You've been talking about Rome. I know I have. So now what are we going to do? We have these types and we're looking at it. Now let's read about the other beast real quick in Revelation 13. It's in Revelation 13, verse 11. This is the other beast. There is two beasts in Revelation 13. And we've been able to identify what the first one was. But now let's read this one. Revelation 13, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He wasn't the dragon, but he spake as a dragon. Verse 12 real quick, and he exerciseth all the powers of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now remember, what we talked about last week, reading between the lines. If I wear a blue shirt today, right? What else am I saying? I'm not wearing a red shirt. So you see, now I'm reading between the lines. So we found out the first beast came out of seas, which means what? Peoples, nations, and tongues. But then the second beast came out of the earth, which is not the seas. So if the seas, water, wetness, meant peoples, nations, tongues, then what does the dry earth mean? Not people, nations, and tongues. And then you look how America started. How did America start? Freedom from religion. Freedom of religion. Well, it was freedom from religion too, I suppose, because they were running from the Church of England. You remember, why did the pilgrims came over? It wasn't just because of disagreements. You remember that. You look up your history. Why did those pilgrims come over? It was freedom from religion. Amen. People were being killed over there for what they believed. They weren't just running away from disagreements. They went over the Atlantic Ocean to get away from dying. Think about it for a second. They thought they had a higher chance going over the Atlantic Ocean to nothing to make it. And you look how America started was those 13 colonies. 13 stripes, 13 stars. And what did we read about the second beast? What chapter are we in? Revelation 13. Isn't that something? It was right there the whole time. God knew. Matter of fact, look, in verse 11 again, he came out of the earth and he had two horns like a lamb. Small little thing. Small little thing. Amen. America was not the superpower it is today, is it? It was 13 colonies. Matter of fact, it almost got wiped out twice. During the American Revolution and the War of 1812, it should have been wiped off. And yet, America had to come about. Why? It was right there in Revelation 13 the whole time. Amen. Oh, that's so great. Remember with George Washington, as the story goes, right? He was going across Valley Forge, didn't even move. And three musket bullets. You want to talk about Trump? George Washington was the first one. Amen. He wasn't scared at all. Amen. Why? It was actually ordained of God. To happen. It was already written in here and it had to happen. But look what it says in verse 12. And I'm not going to get too deep in this. I'm just trying to show you we're using our tools to discover this. We're not trying to get too deep into it. But let's read verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Rome, during its time of, and like I said, I'm not trying to get too deep in it, but pagan Rome at the time, when it was a natural nation with borders, if you will, when it was the superpower of its time. And now look at America. What are we are? We are a superpower. Do you know how super powerful we are? We have military bases in other countries. Other countries don't have military bases here. Oh, there's ambassadors, sure. But you don't see Soviet or England planes or their bases here. Yeah, we have American bases in other nations. We're exercising the power of the first beast. Amen. But what's that second beast going to do? Give power to the first. Have you ever noticed Pope come over and have conversations with America? You ever notice that? Now remember, I'm not trying to get too deep in it. We'll talk about it later, okay? But what I wanted to show you is we took these tools. We took this equipment that God gave us. And we're able to look at the Bible in Revelation 13 and go, man, that does look like America a little bit, don't it? Wow, that actually gets you thinking. And you go, man, Lord, praise the Lord Jesus. It was there the whole time. All we had to do was just use what God gave us. We didn't have to make up anything. We didn't have to try to surmise it. The Bible told us what it was meaning the whole time. And look, did it seem that hard? It didn't seem that hard, did it? See, you already became a theologian. You're already done. You didn't even have to go to school. As I invite the musicians up, let me say this real quick. One time I got accused of, when I was a young preacher, I worked at the elevator. And when I was a young preacher, I went up to the secretary or the boss, I can't remember who, and I said, hey, I need to take off Monday. I'm going to be, actually, I think it was our trip to Iowa, Dad, that many years ago. I had to take off Monday because me and Dad were going to go to Iowa to go preach for Isaiah Brooks. And so I went up and said, hey, I'm going to need this Monday off. I'm traveling to go preach. He said, you a preacher? I said, sure, why not? He's like, you didn't even go to school. And I said, well, I know I didn't go to school. And I knew the guy was Catholic, okay? So I said, well, your first pope didn't go to school. Just so you know, they claim Peter's their first pope, but I don't think he was, actually. But that's another discussion later. But they say it. So I said, you know, the Bible even says that your first pope was ignorant and unlearned. Right. He didn't even go to school. He didn't have money to go to school. Right. And it was so funny to me. He stopped for a second and was going like this. And I said, wait a minute, you don't even know who your first pope is? I said, my goodness, I'm more Catholic than you. You see, it's not about how much we know. You know what I mean? It's not how much, like, intellect we can garner and we'll finally understand more about Christ. No, it's just about loving him. Amen. It's just about loving the Lord Jesus. And as you love the Lord Jesus, what is he going to do? He'll continue to reveal to you what's going on. And he's given you tools. He told you, hey, things can represent other things. Hey, I'm trying to tell you something here. Just don't ignore it. Amen. Read that scripture again. There's Jesus in there. Read it again. You feel that unction of the Holy Ghost. And you go, oh, I need to read this again. Something's speaking to me. Listen, don't run away from that. Hear me, church. All of you, young and old, don't run away from that. Those aren't just little emotional bugs flying into you. When you're reading a certain scripture and it hits your soul, you feel that, oh, write it. Let your soul burn on fire. Start lifting your hands and praising the Lord. Amen. Because that's not you doing it. It's the Word talking to the Word right here. And it's revealing to you. And you're going, yes, Lord, I see it. I see myself saved. I see myself over there. Water that. Listen, don't cool it off. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're in Walmart. You need to take your fan and start get it hotter. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, God. We're so thankful for the word you've given to us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that can just come down in a mighty way. And just anoint us, Lord, to hear from your word, oh God. We're so thankful for it, Lord God, for we understand, Lord, that with our own human intellect, we couldn't even reach these things. But Lord, with your spirit, Lord God, all things are made plain unto us by the Holy Spirit. And we're so thankful for it this evening, Lord God. I just pray, God, you bless each one as we worship you, Lord. If they got a need, Lord, may they just lift their hands and with faith receive the answer to their need, which is you. We're so thankful for you, Lord. We just praise and worship your most holy name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church said together, amen. You love the Lord? Does everybody at least understand some of what Brother Stephen was trying to say? You feel like a typologist now? You're like, pretty easy, I could do that. Amen. Amen. You love the Lord? Dad, you got a song in there? Just sing that.
Burn, burn, yeah, amen. Holy Spirit.
Listen. Burn in me.
me. Set my soul, heart on fire.
Amen.
Fill me with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, see? You know what that means. Amen. Don't you want that? This is my prayer. I don't know about you.
Make me like the Christ I know, healing and raising the dead. And give me the power that Jesus has through the blood.
Oh, let's just sing that unto the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Amen.
Burn, Holy Spirit, burn in me.
Set
yes,
Lord.
My heart.
Hallelujah, God.
On fire.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Ghost and God's full desire.
Prayer, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Burn in us, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I wish I could remember songs. Something about, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning.
Give me oil in my
lamp,
keep me burning.
You know what that means, don't you?
Give me oil in my lamp, I pray.
Yes, Lord.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Oh, let's sing Hosanna.
We'll sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Hallelujah. Sing
Hosanna.
We'll sing.
Worship the Lord.
Hosanna. Sing
Hosanna to the King.
Give me oil.
Hosanna. Sing.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, oh, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Hallelujah.
Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna.
Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, I feel good. Don't you this evening? Amen. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Ain't it grand to
ain't
be a Christian?
It grand to be
ain't
a
it
Christian?
Grand?
Ain't it grand? Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, day. All day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian?
All the days, ain't it grand, Lord? Amen.
Oh, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't
aren't you happy to be a Christian? Amen.
Well, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand?
On Wednesday?
And on Monday,
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
Friday,
Saturday,
and all day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian?
One more time, Dad. Let's be happy to be a Christian.
Oh, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand?
Amen.
Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Well, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand?
Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't it grand to be a Christian? Amen. 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 God surely is good to us. Amen. We love the Lord. Now, do you feel like a typologist this evening? Ready to go now? Amen. You just became an expert. You're better at it than 95% of theologians, amen? And it's all because you love Jesus. Amen. You love the Lord. We'll go and be dismissed. Brother Kent, why don't you come up here and dismiss us in prayer, buddy? Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead, buddy. Bless you. Remember, we got prayer meeting this Friday. You come, you can't. You can only pray a half hour, come down for a half hour. That's all right. Amen. We just want to love the Lord, give more time to Him sometimes. Can you say amen? And may God bless you, dismissed. Go in the fear of the Lord. Amen.
I'm so glad
amen.
That Jesus set me free. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free. That Jesus set me free. I'm singing glory.